A couple of years ago, we actually took time to go through this psalm in great detail. And I think there were five messages that are available for downloading concerning this psalm. But this psalm is one of my favorite psalms, and it has been a great comfort to me in the last several weeks. And I thought that I would bring this back to most of our minds' attention. And the verses that we're going to end up looking at are verses 23 and 24, which is the end of this psalm. But I want to read the whole psalm. And as we read through the psalm, I want us to note that in the first six verses, David is speaking of God's knowledge of us. And then in verses 7 through 16, he's talking about God's ever presence with David or with us. So let's read through here as we try to get the encouragement from it for our days. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol or the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold on me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand, and when I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. For they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. This psalm is a real comfort for me when I am contemplating guidance. You'll notice that in the prayer, he says in verse 24, and lead me in the everlasting way. Everybody see that? Lead me in the everlasting way. And that word lead has already been used in this psalm in verse 10 when he says, it doesn't matter where I go, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold on me. So he's using the knowledge of God, or we would say the theology. He's using the knowledge of God as the very basis of his prayer request. And that is to lead, for him to be led in the everlasting way. Now, I encouragement in that, that God is quite able to guide us, rest on the foundation of two theological words. The one is omniscience. That word means God knows how much? Everything. All things. Not only does he know all things, he knows all possibilities of all things. And he is omnipresence. And what we mean by that is God is always present where? Everywhere. Now to lost people, those two things are frightening. They certainly do not want God to know everything about them, nor the motions of their hearts, nor do they want God to be ever present with them and watching everything they do. But for a believer, those who have been born again by His grace and have His Spirit inside of us, those two things, that God knows everything about us and that He is ever present at all times with us, is a great comfort. Especially when you're concerned about guidance, being led in the everlasting way. So let's just pause, let's just look down through here and look at how God is very active, He is very personal and engaged in each believer's life, and we could say, though the Old Testament did not know anything about this, we could say that He is active and personal and engaged in every one of His churches, where His people are all gathered together. God sees us, He guides us, and sustains us in every area of our life. I heard one preacher say, that it is, for a believer, that it is impossible to get out of God's will. Now, when he makes that statement, he's not saying that we can't sin within God's will and make wrong actions, wrong steps, but God's will is behind us and in front of us and surrounding us. Now let's look at that. As I mentioned before, in the first six verses, he's talking about God's knowing of everything about us. You'll see in verse 1, you have searched me and known me. Verse 2, you know when I sit down and when I rise up. The end of verse 4, behold, O Lord, you know it all. And in verse 23, he actually says, search me and what? Know me. So does God know us? He does know us. And we could make the statement that he knows us inside and out. And how thankful should we be for that? We should be extremely thankful that our Lord knows all those things. So here in the first six verses, you have this knowledge very quickly. The Lord searches the inner man, and He knows every believer. Verse 2, when you are at rest and when you are moving, He knows when those actions occur. Verse 2, all our thoughts and intent of our heart, God understands all that. Even before those thoughts enter your mind, Even before you know them and understand them, God already knows what's on the way into your mind. Verse 3, God examines the path in which we are walking. He examines the bed on which you are sleeping. He is intimately acquainted with how many of my ways? All my ways. From the thought before it comes into my mind to the word that's on its way out of my mouth. He knows all of that. He knows where you're going, where you're from, when you're going to sit, when you're going to rise up. He understands all those things. Verse 4. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You know it all. Are we protected? Verse 5. You have enclosed me behind and before. He has laid his hand upon me. Now, folks, now just think about all of that in relationship to guidance. Can you and I know what's coming upon our lips before we say it? No. Can we know the thoughts that are to come into our minds before we know it? No. We don't know the future. And ever so quickly, we forget the past. But God, our Lord, knows all of that all the time and never forgets it. So the psalmist says, verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. It's inaccessible. I cannot attain to it. Folks, no man will ever get to that place where he knows all the things that God himself knows about. Now follow this. Every individual believer. And by corollary, every individual lampstand of his churches. Nothing is unknowable to him. So, for example, when we're sitting in services and we're listening to messages and we're listening to the word preached, does God know how we're acting? He does. The preacher may not know. Your eyes may be open and they may be locked gazed on you and your heart be far away, but the Lord knows those things. And folks, this is one reason why sometimes the Lord does things in our life that are completely beyond our understanding. We say, Lord, why did you do this? Why are you doing that? Because he knows the thought and intents of the hearts. Folks, he's judging by what's going on inside of us. And he knows where your thoughts are going to take you. Those thoughts that you can't know, he knows, and he's making judgments based on those things. Now, again, for a believer, that is a great comfort. And we'll see that here when he prays this prayer in verses 23 and 24, based on what he knows about God. But folks, not only does God know everything about us, he is always with us. So let's ask that question. Verse 7, where could we go from his spirit? The answer is nowhere. Or verse 7, where can I flee from your presence? Could you ever escape from the presence of God? The answer to that is what? No. So folks, wasn't it a little foolish when Jonah got in the boat to leave the presence of God? Now that's probably referring to the temple there in Jerusalem to get away from that presence. But you can't go anywhere. Jonah's in the belly of the great fish. And guess what? the Lord is there. Wasn't He? And He was dealing with Jonah down there in the belly of the fish, in the depths of the water. And so He says that. There's nowhere where we can run away from God. Verse 8, if I could go up into heaven, it's obvious, that's where the Lord's at. But if I make my bed in the grave, verse 8, behold, you are what? You're there. And isn't that a great comfort one day that we will plant this seed in the earth and the Lord does not forget it? Well, what if I could take the dawn, the early part of the morning, and what if I could put wings on that? And what if I could fly away, verse 9, and I could make my home in the remotest part of the sea? Let's translate that. What if I became a missionary and I left Richmond and I went somewhere to the remotest part of the earth? Guess what? The Lord is there. I had to deal with this a little bit when early in my ministry years, we were missionaries and I went to the Middle East. I actually went over to Israel. And I remember being on that airplane and feeling very much out of my culture. And I remember thinking, did I leave the Lord behind? And of course, the answer to that was what?
Mm-hmm.
No, but it was out of my comfort zone. And I had to teach myself, the Lord is there. And He'll be there when I land. And He'll be there when I get an apartment to rent. And He'll be there when I talk to my neighbor. I can't go anywhere and He's not there. Isn't that great assurance when you're thinking about and praying for guidance in your life? Sometimes we're afraid of mistaking God's will. And I think that fear can be wholesome. But I also think we need to remember that if we're sincerely seeking the Lord, that even if we take a misstep, He's still there. And He'll take you right back to that proper pathway. What a great comfort that is. Well, verse 10. Here I am making my home in the remotest part of the sea. Verse 10. Even there, your hand will guide me. And your right hand will lay hold on me. So does His hand ever leave us? No, and this is exactly what our Lord said in John chapter 10 when He said, no man can pluck them out of my hand. And no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are, we're one. Well, what if you're in a position where you are in the dark? Verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me. The word there means to crush or to bruise. And what if the light around me would be night? Well, is the Lord's presence there? Does He know you? How can He know that? You're in the dark. You're in the night. Verse 12. The darkness is not dark to you. And the night is as bright as the day. Not to you, but to Him. Verse 12. Darkness and light are alike to God. So can lost people hide from God? The answer to that is no. How much more so a believer can't hide from God either? Darkness and light are alike to you. Well, here's a great comfort. Did God know you and guide your life when you were not consciously able to make that decision yourself? like when you were in the womb. I've often thought to myself, how glad I am I don't remember anything of that, nor the process of coming out into this world. Well, who was there when you were in the womb? The Lord. And it's dark there in the womb. And darkness and light is alike to Him. Who was forming you in the womb? God was. If you've ever looked and examined the process of a human being being conceived in the womb and then being formed into something we recognize as a baby, it is a miraculous thing. And of course, the Bible says that when He says, verse 15, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought." Skillfully wrought. Here you are, not conscious, no part of this process, not sitting there making decisions about your future, not concerned about your retirement, not concerned about your next step. But who was there? The Lord was there. And He skillfully made you who you are. And He formed you, verse 13, He formed your inward parts. You wove me together in my mother's womb. And I will give thanks to you. I was certainly formed in my mother's womb, and I actually, the Lord told me to enter into this world early. The Lord surprised my mother. She had a backache. And she laid down. And before long, she couldn't move. And she actually had to bang on the walls to get someone to come in. And she said a couple of people came in and actually held her shoulders, picked up her feet, and kind of carried her out like you would carry a stretcher. And carried her to the army base where, guess who? I was coming. Who did all that? Who protected me then? Who protected my mother? It was the Lord. And folks, when you're praying for guidance, the knowledge that God has all this all-encompassing sight on you, and the knowledge that the Lord Himself, Christ, has this all-encompassing guidance over your life, and that the same Lord has all this encompassing sustaining of your life. Folks, if you think He's doing all that, would He not guide your steps? Would He not guide a church in their steps? The answer to that is what? Yes. How could you be so assured? He sees me. He knows me. He sustains me. And this is what David is banking his prayer in verse 23 on. He's banking all of his prayer upon the theology, the knowledge that he knows of the Lord. And because of that knowledge, he is assured that the Lord will continue His care and guidance over his life. And so here's what he prays. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Now, has God already said that, verse 1? What does verse 1 say? O Lord, You have searched me and known me. And David's asking for the Lord to do it again. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Then he says, try me and know my anxious thoughts. Now, folks, when does God know our thoughts? Before we what? Before we know them. So what he's asking for here is that in this test, that the Lord would look upon him and know the thoughts of anxiety that may be arising out of his soul. Why is he so concerned about that? Brethren, he's concerned about that. Look at verse 23 again. Try me, know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me. Why is he so concerned about his anxious thoughts? Why is he so concerned about his distracting thoughts, his disquieting thoughts, the thoughts that stir him up? Brethren, the reason why he's concerned about it is because those types of thoughts can lead me astray. Does everybody see that? When we are filled with anxiety, we are in danger. We are in danger of not being led in the everlasting way. What would take us out of that way? Hurtful thoughts, anxious thoughts, destructive thoughts. And what David wants is for the Lord to try him and look at those thoughts even before they come into his understanding. And remove them. Now that's a beautiful prayer. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, only God could do this. It'd be a wonderful thing, would it not, if God took away all of our anxious thoughts? Yeah. But wouldn't it be better if He took them away before we knew them? That would be way better. Because if I don't know them, I don't have to deal with them. And sometimes I've made mention from the pulpit, I've made mention to you individually. I've said something like this: why don't you pray and ask God to restrain it? This is what David's doing. He's asking the Lord, are there any hurtful ways, anxious thoughts, that are in me that could bring me not to the path of everlasting way, but to the path of destruction? Remove those from me. Sustain me. And give me, verse 24, give me guidance. And folks, we know from Psalm 139, verse 1, that the Lord had done it previously. And the Lord has done it previously in your life as a believer, hasn't He? So now you're coming to Him again, maybe with more scriptural understanding, but you're coming to Him again and asking that He would keep your feet. Folks, Proverbs says that the way of man is not in Him. Everybody's trying to find the way, and they're all looking inside. The Lord is the pathway. And folks, we need that type of guidance individually, don't we? How many decisions do you make in a day? And I know, we just sang a song, take everything to God in prayer. Okay. But you're going to make hundreds of decisions that you're not in the moment to even begin to pray. You got to make them win right then. And we need to pray beforehand. Like our sister mentioned, Lord, I'm giving you my day. Guide my feet. Guide my mouth. And we need that leadership in our family, don't we? Parents, you need to pray this for your children, your grandchildren. You need to pray this in your home. And we also need this in His church. There's not a day or a week or a month where His churches do not need His guidance moment by moment. And there are heightened days in which everybody knows we may need guidance, but the fact of the matter is, every day our church is taking steps. Every day your family is taking steps. Every day you as an individual believer are taking steps. And folks, be assured, the Lord sees you, knows you, He's with you. So you can go to Him in prayer because He has all the knowledge to make the right decision. You don't. Did you hear that? You don't. But He does, and He can give you enough scriptural understanding to give you signpost and guidance to direct your steps, even though you may not know the why, if, when, or where of every particular thing you may want to know. But rest assured, He knows all those things. And hallelujah for that. So let's go to our Lord in prayer.